see all the spring break madness in Miami. The late night host did. Stephen Colbert called out the mayor for saying those partiers were not following the rules. Colbert said, yeah, he wants a spring break that's not chaotic or disorderly, like in those famous videos, Girls Gone Mild. Trevor, this is what's going to happen after Florida's governor called the state a freedom oasis. Like, if I put a Starbucks sign above my apartment door, I can't be mad when people show up and try to take a dump in my bathroom. Trevor, let's be clear here. COVID is not over, all right? Some random dude can't declare the end of the pandemic by dressing up like the Joker and making it rain. It's not a thing. Only Anthony Fauci can declare the end of the pandemic by dressing up like the Joker and making it rain. Trevor again, still, there's no reason you can't celebrate spring break and wear a mask. It could be part of the fun. I mean, just think how sexy a wet mask contest could be, huh? I mean, we haven't seen mouths in a year. What's under there? Trevor, and if we learned anything from Miami, this is just a preview of how much everyone is going to get loose once the pandemic is truly over. People have been locked up for too long. Once it ends, everyone's going to be drinking and partying, hooking up with everyone. It's going to be so much that it's going to create the next worldwide virus. Yeah, guys are going to be waking up in bed next to a bat like, uh-oh, I think I did it again. Can I tell you about my new favorite Instagram? No, it's not at Daily Common News. It's Adam Sandler with Da Drip, D-A Drip. Their feed is basically casual shots of Adam Sandler in baggy t-shirts and long shorts. He kind of makes me look like Sean Connery. And right now, I'm probably wearing a Mets sweatshirt, sweatpants, and a baseball cap. But boy, Adam Sandler, pretty casual. Adam Sandler with the drip. Check it out. Kevin Hart told a story about how he ticked off Michael Jordan during a charity event in Las Vegas back in 2016. This from the Sports Rush. Kevin Hart said, Mike had a charity event in Las Vegas. They called me. So I get there to host the event. I start teasing him. I was like, man, at what age do you get to where it's okay to wear your pants that high and nobody addresses it? I was like, y'all tell me I'm the only one that thinks Mike's past the legal limit for the waist. But it was like fun jokes. He had this little square mustache at the time. And I was like, what is that? It looks like a thumbprint. Like you just smelled something. So then I see him and I'm like, what's up, Mike? And he shook my hand. He squeezed it real hard. And he was like, you have a good day. And I ain't seen him since. He's still my favorite player, though. He's still my favorite player. And if I see him again, I'm going to ask him about it. I'm like, you better lose the toot, man. Vulture caught up with Lorraine Newman. She's got a new audiobook memoir. It's called May You Live in Interesting Times. Us older folks remember Lorraine Newman from Saturday Night Live. Actually, she's even from a little before my time, and I'm ancient. She wrote, by her count, 10 drafts of the book over the course of 2 decades. She said, I knew what would be expected of a book like this, which would be a lot of SNL. I knew it would be responsible for telling what most people would want to hear about the show, and I don't blame them. I like the idea of celebrating my favorite sketches and found I had the backstories to quite a few of them. I'm hoping that will sustain and satisfy people in terms of SNL. But what I realized during the course of writing this and reflecting on my life is that I was really witness to a lot of pop cultural trends, and I clearly hope that people listen to the whole thing. Because there's certainly a lot of rip-snorting good times after the show. So what were her comedy influences growing up? She said, we had all the comedy albums. Alan Sherman, The First Family with Von Mater. As I got older, it was Richard Pryor all the way, but seeing comedians on The Merv Griffin Show was really my education. I liked Toadie Fields a lot. I never got to see Joan Rivers until later, and I appreciated her. Her style was, from my perspective, more mainstream. Female comics really started to come into my consciousness in the alt scene that's grown in LA. Just wonderful, wonderful comedians like Maria Bamford, Jackie Cation. There's such a huge list, including my kids. I never imagined myself as a stand-up, and I never wanted to do it. I liked performing. I liked having all eyes on me. The audience reaction to me on Kids Say the Darndest Things was certainly the first time hearing that roar of laughter. You're not going to hear that in kindergarten. Her first impressions of SNL, she said, I had come from a company where I knew everybody and I felt supported, acknowledged, and known. I didn't know anybody at SNL. Meeting Chevy Chase for the first time was scary. I have that in the memoir. We'd find out that Tom Schiller had lupus and Chevy was pontificating about what he saw as the future of the show. He said, years from now, of course, you won't be there, Tom. I was so young and so inexperienced. I was making my way. I just really felt I was always at a loss and trying to prove myself each time. Which sketch does she consider to be her breakthrough? She said the Godfather group therapy sketch, because my character's monologue was something I wrote. It landed and it gave me some cred. From Forbes, your home for comedy news, Slacks, S-L-A-X-X, was a happy accident. What's Slacks about? It's about a pair of evil pants. Director Elza Kephart said, my co-writer Patricia Gomez and I came up with the idea as a lark. We were teasing one of our friends with the words we hated most, and one of the words was slacks. We were repeating it over and over in a weird voice, and we thought it sounded like a pair of evil pants. I want to say plants so bad. It's pants. That's what started it all. We didn't know where to go from there, but we knew we had to make a movie about killer pants. The more we talked about the idea, the more excited everyone got. Many years passed. We couldn't make it work because it was too silly. So when Patricia suggested that it be set in the retail world, we knew we had something, of course. Slacks, with two X's, is about a murderous pair of jeans that wreaks havoc on the staff of a trendy boutique, has its own victim in sight, namely the labor ethics behind fast fashion. When we were trying to finesse the music choices, we realized that scary music didn't work when it came to people being picked off by these pants because the deaths were scary. As soon as we created this weird, almost ludicrous soundtrack, we knew we had it. It was very, very hard to get that fine balance between the horror and the comedy. We had to create 45 pairs of pants for each different expression that the pants have, and we had backups. Getting the pants right was one of the hardest elements, giving them a personality, almost turning them into an animal. In case you're wondering, is Slacks with two X's the jumping off point for a series of killer clothes movies? Now, for us, it's a standalone movie. The point of it is not just the pants that kill, but it's the message behind it. Patricia and I are working on a killer tree movie. It's about a tree that seeks revenge. Okay, then. Did you vote yet? Comedy's top dog. It's Dave Chappelle versus Eddie Murphy. Go to Instagram at Daily Comedy News. Let me know who you like. Do you like Eddie Murphy? Do you like Dave Chappelle? Who should win? And I will read your comments tomorrow. From The Guardian, Eddie Izzard doesn't understand what all the fuss is about. In December, it was reported that the stand-up comic slash actor slash campaigner slash endurance runner had adopted the pronouns she and her and wanted to be in girl mode for now on. The funny thing, Izzard says, is she had first announced she was trans in 2017 in The Hollywood Reporter. Nobody had taken a bit of notice. This time was different. Within hours of saying it on TV, everything had changed. Her Wikipedia entry and IMDb history were revised, and every media organization was running stories about he had become a she. Eddie says she had not intended to be so definitive about it. She had always talked about being in boy mode most of the time and girl mode part of the time, and she was still hoping to keep her options open. She soon discovered that wasn't an option, though. Take, for example, the new Netflix series she's currently working on in Manchester. In it, Eddie plays a small-town lawyer called Harry. Quote, as I'm playing a male role, I suggested people go back to calling me he and him for this. And what the world seems to have said to me is you can change your pronouns, but you can't use he and him as well. You just got to be she and her from now on because we've only got so much time on our hands. Thank you very much. How does she feel about that? Great. I've been promoted to she, and it's a great honor. Guardian also asked why Eddie does all the marathons. Did I mention I did a marathon once? Yeah, I always mention it. I never shut up about it. I'm so annoying about it. But Eddie says it's been great for my mental health, great for reclaiming the sort of fitness I had as a kid. It's also changed people's attitudes towards me as well. Being a trans person who's an endurance runner is no bad thing. People don't expect a trans woman to be able to run 130 marathons for charity, and it changes their sense of what a trans woman is. I could see it in their eyes. They go, well, fair play. That's your comedy news for today. Follow the show on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Vote Chappelle, Eddie Murphy, Instagram at Daily Comedy News. If you like what I do here, you could buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/Daily Comedy News. Catch you tomorrow.